Good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church family. We are going to be sharing our Wednesday study, and we're still in the book of Matthew. Last week, Pastor Greg shared about judgment and how to stay away from judging others. And I loved that in that portion of scripture, there's a great word picture of what it looks like in God's eyes when we judge the plank and the speck. I just love that. And we're going to continue kind of with some more comparisons this week in our text. And hopefully each of you guys are doing well. I know I miss being with my church family for sure. And Daniel and I definitely are itching to just get back into seeing everybody. And so I hope that this finds you well and that everyone's having a great week so far. So let's get after it tonight. We are going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. So open your Bibles with us and follow along. One thing that I wanted to share with you guys, too, is that this portion that we're going to be talking about tonight is some of the most famous, at least for me, it's one of my favorite portions of the Sermon on the Mount. And the reason being for that is that, you know, it just really gives you a good picture of what our life with Jesus is supposed to look like and how we are to pursue him, how we're supposed to just kind of continue on, especially when things are not easy. And what a fitting time to be talking about this. So I'm going to pray real quick and we will get started. Lord, I just come before you. I thank you that we can be together tonight, whether it's through our computers or our phones or whatever it is, however we're listening, God, and just get into your word. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share. I pray you would just add blessing to your word as it reaches your people's ears tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to read our text. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7. So here we go. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. So we have just a short amount of verses tonight, but there's so much in there and there's so much good that we can kind of get from hearing that and really understanding what Jesus meant in this portion. So asking, seeking, and knocking. I love these words. I love that they are, they want us to act, right? If we're asking a question, I often think of my children when they come to me and it's usually Evelyn asks me the same question over and over and over. She just wants to know if, you know, can we go play outside, mommy? Can we go do this? And she's so persistent in asking for what she wants that she can't be ignored. Oftentimes a child can be, oh, they can just get under your skin because they just do not know how to give up, which is such a wonderful thing when you think about your relationship with God. And it's something that we all need to have within ourselves to just continue to pursue him. And we all have definitely gone through times where we've wondered, you know, did I not ask enough? You know, did God not give me what I wanted because I didn't ask? You know, how many times do we go without something? And if we would have just asked God and really pursued it, I think that we oftentimes make it harder on ourselves. So asking, seeking is the next word, seeking. I love the fact that God seeks us out, but we are definitely more responsible for seeking him out. And it comes from our daily relationship with him, right? It's, you know, we can have these check-ins with God and really kind of get our day off on a great start if we just are seeking him. We're finding him in the morning. We're, you know, doing our devotion. We're having a time of prayer. And seeking God is something you do constantly and continuously. It's not just something that you check in and say, hey, God, we're still good, right? It's been a couple days. That's not what he designed for our relationship to be with him. And I hope that most of us during this time of being home and for some of us not working or whatever that looks like, that the time that we're seeking God is just that really, really, really sweet and precious time that we have with him. It's just so important. And so I love that word, seeking, knocking. I have, for this word, a couple things that it reminds me of is when we're home, and I have a friend who, when he knocks on our door, he has like a specific knock. So I always know that it's him. And my grandparents, it's funny, they live on the same property as us. And even if they're just coming over to drop something off, they always knock on the door. They don't just walk in. And, you know, and they're letting us know that they're there waiting for us. And when we look at our relationship with God, the cool thing about when we knock on the door, right, and we're waiting for God to answer us, oftentimes he doesn't come on the first knock, at least for me. I feel like he wants to feel pursued, you know, and he wants to feel important, and he wants to know that our heart is in the right place to be looking for him, right, and seeking him out. And so these three words, I just love that these are the words that were chosen for this, and I love what they mean. They are verbs, they're action words, they are designed to make us move, right? If we're going to ask something, we're going to seek, we're going to knock, we're doing something. And so I think that Jesus wanted his people to understand that they would need to have a heart that didn't give up easily, especially with the things that were going to be coming their way shortly after this. And when we follow after Jesus, you guys, the prize for that, and trust me when I say it is such a prize, in being persistent. You know, we have the people that are going to follow Jesus that, you know, he's a priority to them, but only when it's convenient. And they're going to put him first when they really need him to do something for them. And then there's those, hopefully we fall in this category, that are remaining persistent and consistent for God. You know, they're not the people that are just stopping in at church when they have time. They're not the people that tithe when it's comfortable for them. They're the people that continuously show up and do things for God. They're people in our communities. Hopefully they're us. Hopefully we are those people. And I think that when we think about being persistent and consistent, that is something that God desires for us. And Jesus knew that soon after this, when he would physically be pulled away from his people, and we read that later, and he's trying to warn them, he's trying to get them to understand, I'm not going to be here. I'm trying to show you and teach you so that you can continue this when I'm not here. And through the Holy Spirit, we have that gift of just knowing that we have Jesus in our heart, and we have access to him anytime that we want. So I'm going to take this apart, kind of verse, a couple verses at a time, just so we can kind of get into really what's here. Verses 7 and 8, I'll read those again for you. So it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. So it kind of repeats itself in that text. And it just reminds you that the person that's going to do these things, they're going to get what they're looking for, right? The person that knocks, the door is going to be opened eventually, right? If you knock enough, someone will come to the door. Jesus will come to the door. Jesus will come and share his wisdom, his knowledge, everything that he desires for you to have with you. If you're going to seek God, you will find him. And it may be in dark corners of your life. It may be in the trials. It may be in the hard times, but you will find him. And he wants to be found. And I think that asking God is something that we struggle with a lot. And it's not something that we like to admit that we struggle with, because I think that we all can say, oh yeah, I pray about that, and I'll pray about that, and I'll ask God and see what he thinks. But do we wait for his answer? When we ask a question to someone else, we don't get to have the answer. We're waiting for their answer. And so I felt convicted when I read that this week of am I asking a question to answer my own question, or am I asking a question so God can give me the answer? In these verses, one thing that stuck out to me is that Jesus is telling his people to be persistent in their pursuit of him. And people often give up, right? After a couple times of asking God for something and you're not getting what you want, they decide, okay, well, God can't or doesn't want to give it to me. He doesn't want to be found. He doesn't want to come to the door. He's left me empty-handed. And I think that the flaw with thinking that way is that oftentimes God rewards the people that are patient, right? And I said that a couple times already tonight. I have a feeling it'll be a theme throughout this message. You know, the persistence that we have, you guys, can be really short-sighted when we look at the kingdom of God. Because for me, I think oftentimes when I go before the Lord and say, you know what, God, I just need you. And lately my prayers have been, God, I just need you to heal my heart. There's a lot of things in there that are broken and I just want to be healed, Lord. I just want to walk through this journey of healing and know that I'm like full and complete. But yet at the same time, when I'm in the thick of prayer and I'm seeking God through his word and I'm remembering all the things he's done for me, that persistence in that and staying true to just remembering that God is in control. It's not my timing. And it's not to say that God doesn't want me to be whole or he doesn't want me to be healthy or complete or feel like all the broken parts of me are getting fixed. But the beauty comes from the pursuit of that, right? What that looks like in my life. Am I going to God and saying, God, do it right now so that I don't have to experience this pain? Or am I saying, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you through the pain. And I know that eventually you're going to deliver me from this. And I know I'm going to be, praising you for something that you've done. And having that mindset's just really important to know that we don't want to give up easy on God. We want to be people that continue to ask him, continue to try to find out what his plan is for us. And knowing that God, you know, if we were going to really follow God and be a believer and actively seek him, right? That takes faith, focus, and follow through. Those are three things that I want you guys to try to take away from tonight, is that God doesn't reward those that are half-heartedly seeking him. He can tell the difference. And it's the same, you guys, when we know, I laugh because my daughter is going to be four and she does not like cleaning her room. She loves making a mess of her room, but she definitely does not like cleaning it. And one of the things that always, you know, I chuckle because she thinks she can fool me, and she will put so many of her toys just in her closet or underneath furniture or whatever, and she thinks that they won't be found. And a good parent always knows when their kid's lying. And so it's just something that you know deep down inside that something's being hidden from you. And if we're like that, how do you think God is with us? He knows when we're not being genuine. He knows when we're not really giving him the 100% effort that he deserves, right? He knows that. And I think that oftentimes he'll wait for it. I look at my daughter sometimes when she is being defiant or doesn't want to be patient, and I'll just look at her and say, I'll wait. I'll wait for you to be done being upset. I'll wait for you to stop throwing a fit. I'll wait for you. And she'll just look at me, and eventually she'll stop doing what she's doing and kind of get on track. But God has to do that with us too. And no matter where we are in our relationship with the Lord, that is something that I feel like kind of shines through. You know, he is a God that will wait for us to finally be in a place where we're willing to do what he wants us to do. We're willing to wait if that's what's necessary. We're willing to kind of get through the hard things, right? So that we can get to the other side. And God's so patient with us. And he knows that in the end, he's going to reward those that are following through and focusing on him and him alone. And so in all these things and in these two verses, guys, the most important thing for us to remember is that we can't give up in our effort to seek God, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. We need to continue to ask him for more knowledge, for patience, for wisdom, for love, for understanding, to have more kindness in our heart. And I think that everything that we pray for that lines up with who God wants us to be, he will give those things to you. If you come to God and say, God, get me out of this mess. I just want this to be over. I just want to be done. I just want to move on from this. There's no lesson in him just delivering you, right? If just pulling you out of a situation. There is so much that goes into finding the lesson in things, right? It takes a long time sometimes to learn a lesson, and God will wait until you've learned it. And sometimes, you know, if you've been walking with the Lord long enough, it'll happen again if you don't learn the lesson the first time. And God, I think that just brings him so much pain to know that we didn't learn it the first time around when we could have. And so we just need to be persistent. We need to continue to be persistent in our relationship with him. So verses 9 and 10. I love this example so much. I love that Jesus, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, is just bringing all these wonderful examples. And like I said at the beginning of this, when we talked about judgment and the plank and the speck, God gives these amazing visual kind of pictures that we get to have in our mind of what that looks like, what we look like to God when we are doing certain things. And so in verses 9 and 10, we have this wonderful picture. And the example that he uses is a child going to his father, and he asks him for bread. And the crazy thing is, of course, you know, kind of a rhetorical question, like, well, of course the father's not going to give him a stone. And if he's going to ask for a fish, why would he give him a snake? You know, we think about those things and they sound silly, right? Of course not. Of course someone wouldn't do that. But the child in this example that Jesus is using, he's asking for necessary and good things, right? He's asking for bread. He's asking for fish. Are we asking for necessary things? Are we asking for things that we know we really don't need? Are we asking for what we want? Are we asking for our will to be done instead of God's? And that is something that should convict each and every one of us. It definitely convicts me. If the child that asked this, if you would have asked for a poisonous snake, let's say, right, would the father that was wise and knew what his child needed, would he give that to him? Of course not. But sometimes, you guys, God looks at us and he knows what we're really praying for is something that's going to destroy us, like a snake, right? As funny, and we can laugh at this kind of parable, it is sometimes our heart. You know, we go to God asking for shallow things, and God has this deep ocean full of blessing, and he is wondering why we're in the waiting pool when there's deep and there's wide and there's better and greater, and we settle for so little. And it's just, when you think about that, God desires to give you so many good things, and we pass him up all the time because we settle for something so much less than whatever it is, right? And I think that we have to remember, when we go to God, he already knows, right? He already knows before we even ask if it's something he's going to give us or not. And a lot of times I feel like God's protected me a lot over the years of just not giving me things that I wanted so that I could have things that I needed instead. And those things are lasting things. They're not things that are going to be easily gone, right? We have things from God that last forever. And when we look at God's kingdom, the things that he wants us to have are all internal, right? And the things that we sometimes want are external. God, get me out of this circumstance. Lord, make my finances better. Give me a better job. Give me this. And really what he's teaching us through all the difficult things is to have lasting things and things that are kingdom minded and not us minded. And so when I was reading this, one thing that it reminded me of is that phrase that we hear, be careful what you wish for. The reason why I wanted to share that as well is sometimes, you know, we ask God for something and, you know, it's not, I don't think that God necessarily doesn't want to give us what he knows will bring us joy, but he wants to give us stuff that is going to bring lasting joy and deeper things, right? Bigger things. And I think that when we wish for things, we're wishing for things that are so temporary, you guys, that in the kingdom of God, it just doesn't, he just knows that it's not worth it, right? He knows so much better than us. And I oftentimes find myself praying to God, whatever your will is, because mine is often flawed and it's filled with things that I want. But I know at the end of the day, I really just want what God has for me, because those things are going to be exponentially better than what I could have for myself. Anything, any plan, any purpose that I could come up for myself, if it doesn't line up with God, then it's not going to get me very far. And it's so fleeting, and we need to have things that are lasting. As we learn to know God better and understand that he's loving and kind, we understand that he is okay with us going through hard things if it gets us to the other side, right? There are trials that we put ourselves in, and I firmly believe that there are situations that have come and gone in my life where I've made it harder on myself, and I have definitely made trials last longer because I'm not learning the lesson and I'm just being stubborn. And all of us can relate to that, I think, of just being in a place where we feel like we're just going to hold out. We're just going to wait. And God's saying, okay, well, then you're going to be waiting for a while. And even in all those things, we still need to understand that God still wants to give us good things. He wants us to understand his will. And he wants that to be ingrained with our will, right? That needs to be kind of hand in hand. And when we learn to ask for better things, those are the things that he will give us. One thing that Daniel and I were praying about probably almost two years ago now, right, when we were about to have Sadie, and just our finances, you know, we really were struggling with how do we start saving money? We really just lived paycheck to paycheck for a long time. And Daniel has worked at different jobs, and, you know, we never prayed over like our finances, really. We would just hope that, you know, we were doing the right thing. And when we finally sought counsel for that, and it took, you know, it was a definitely a humbling act, because I felt like we were putting ourselves out there to get scrutinized or whatever. But instead, what we got was, you know, you guys will, this looks good, and you guys have all the right things kind of lined up. And so it was great. The last year and a half, we haven't lived the way that we used to live, and we've been saving, and we've been, you know, paying for things that we used to struggle coming up with money. And now it's like God's just really, really shown us just how to be living in that abundance. And even during hard times, even right now, knowing that we have all these things covered, it's just such a blessing. And I'm so glad that we're in that place of, we've learned this lesson. Like, we understand it so much better. And it took a while. You know, we were in a time, we were married for almost 5 years at that point. And when we finally just gave it to God and said, you know what, Lord, I just need you to come in and help us do this. Would you show us what we need to do? And he did. He was faithful, because that's something he desires for us, right? He doesn't desire us to be stressed about our finances. He didn't want us to be fighting over money or fighting over what we were going to do with different things that would come up. And now, because God's involved in that, there is a lot of blessing in that. And I see God moving in that. And so that's just a story from us. And hopefully you guys have lots of stories like that too. And when we experience trials, pain, suffering, God knows that all of those things produce in us what's good as well, even when it's hard. I love the book of James. It is one of my favorite books in the Bible, because it's just so real and it's so straightforward. There is no way that you can misinterpret what he means, because he's so clear. And I love that. I think if Pastor Greg were to write a book in the Bible, he would have written James, because he has that personality. And I love reading, especially the beginning of James. And it talks about in James 1 verses 2 through 4, it gives you this picture of, you know, you're going to go through trials and you're going to have this joy when you go through them, because you know, when you go through trials, you're going to get perseverance. And because you are persevering and because you're persisting and you're being consistent with God, even when it's hard, you're going to be mature. You're going to be exactly the person that God designed you to be. And it's going to shape you and it's going to mold you. And nothing can shape you more than the hard times in your life. And it's just true. It's just amazing. It's hard to go through that. It's hard to be sharpened. It's hard to be kind of brought down to your knees. But God often does his best work when we give up, right? When we give up our plan. And so that's something that we can take away from those verses as well. So the last couple verses of this portion, there's another comparison that I wanted to bring to your attention. And in verse 11, he kind of shifts gears. He says, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So there's this expression, you know, that we are evil, we are wicked, and it contrasts our sinful nature, our sinful human being nature, with the holy and perfect image of God, right? If you guys are evil and you guys are capable to do all these things, how much better is God going to do for you? How much more is God going to love you? How much more is he going to show you that? And it's just, I think that Jesus uses that wording and that comparison to just show us, like, to really contrast that God is showing, Jesus is showing us the heart of the Father, of God, our Father, right? God isn't selfish. He's not stingy. He's not going to hold things back from us, because he deeply loves us, right? He is our loving God. He takes care of us. He knows what we need, and we are his creation. And so he knows exactly all the time what we need, even when we're asking him for all the wrong things. He's thinking, oh my gosh, that's not even close. And yet he's so faithful to give us what we need in the end. And that is so encouraging to me. As a mom, when I read this, you know, you can't help but think about this in the eyes of who you are as a parent. And Daniel and I often struggle with, we want our kids to have everything that they want, But I do know that it's so hard when you want to give your kid what they want, but it's not what they need. And it's tough to be in that position, but you know that in the end, you want your child to be happy. You want them to be fulfilled. You want them to be fulfilled with joy and for everybody to win. But sometimes as a parent, it's tough because that desire to know what they need versus what they're wanting in the moment, it's a tough spot. And so that is something that we are just now starting to deal with Evelyn as she's getting older. And as humans, right, as a person who is created by God, my desire is to want to give them what they want, right? God's DNA runs through me. And so I want to give my kids what they are asking me for. I want to do that for them. But yet I am overwhelmed by the feeling of, okay, but it's not going to teach them what they need to learn, right? And that's the struggle of being a good parent. And I don't have it all figured out, but I know that really is hard for me to act on. It's easy for me to say it because I know it's in God's word, but yet I struggle. And as humans, you guys, if humans can be kind and we can, you know, we can be good. I've seen it. I've seen people just be good people. They desire to do what's right. They desire justice. They desire fairness. They want that. But imagine how kind and good and fair and amazing God is, the creator of all those things, right? God created kindness. God created love. He created joy. He created all these things. And why would he not be 1,000 times better than us, right? He's the inventor of all these things. Of course, he's going to be awesome at it. And we need to remember that God designed us and knows us so well, and he knows what we need. And he wants us to have everything that's going to make us a whole person. And sometimes it just takes a lot of patience, right? We need to understand that God's timing and his ways are just not ours, and they're so much higher and better. And then we have verse 12. So verse 12 is what is famously known in the Bible, and it's called the Golden Rule. When I was younger, my grandparents used to share this all the time. You know, would you want your sister doing that to you? And, you know, you share about do to others what you would have them do to you. In most religions, though, it's backwards. It's stated in a negative context. It'll say, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Because you think, oh, well, gosh, I wouldn't want to be in pain. I wouldn't want to be hurt. So I don't want to hurt someone else. And you think about kind of the consequence. But Jesus, stating this the way he does positively, he made it more significant for us, right, to understand that. And it's not hard to refrain from harming other people, to hurt someone, right? We know we don't want to go out and hurt people, hopefully. Hopefully that's not your intent, right? You want to have relationships with people that are great. You want to be kind. You want to be good. And it's so much more difficult, you guys, to take that initiative and take that action into our own hands by doing something good for other people. And that's what the Golden Rule is all about when you look at it in terms of like the kingdom of God. God wants us to go out and be kind and go out and show love and show other people that so that they see him in us, right? We want that to shine through more than anything else, and for that to be something that people take away just by knowing us and seeing us. And the Golden Rule, as formulated by Jesus, is our foundation for active goodness, active love, active mercy, and active kindness. God extends this type of kindness and love, favor, goodness, mercy to us every day. And we can really understand it when we start looking at our lives and think, gosh, God really did so much for me. Look at all the things he's done. Look at all the things that he has provided for me. Of course, I want to go and try and extend that to someone else if I can. And so that kind of sums up all the verses that we had tonight. I want to apply just a couple things and get you guys on your way. I think that the first thing that we have to take away from this is don't be a person who gives up easily when pursuing Jesus. We don't want to be someone who goes through something hard and all of a sudden their relationship with God is on the rocks because their foundation was shaken. Well, really, we need to go before God and say, I'm asking with boldness. I'm gonna go before God and pray over these things. And if I don't get my way, I'm still going to keep asking, right? Maybe I need to shift what I'm asking for. You need to knock persistently and consistently, even if it takes him a while to come to the door. Continue to knock on that door. Continue to read his word. Continue to pray. Continue to look for him. And the last one is just to seek him. Seek him above everything else. Make sure that Jesus is the beginning and end of your day. And he will give you all the desires of your heart. He'll give you everything that you want. He wants to give you good things. And I think we need to remember that as well. When we don't get our way, right, we need to remember that God has something better. And that's what's going to come our way. And we need to pray for the better. Remember that God can see past your circumstance. He can see the entirety of your life. And he knows best. And trust him in that. God loves us, you guys. He loves us so much. He wants to give us good things. And that's one thing I'm going to take away from this, is that God loves his people. He wants to, in who he is, in his DNA, is to bless his people and to make them whole, to make them a wonderful and new creation every day. And we have to remember to continuously go before him, even if we don't get the answer that we want. And it takes time. Following Jesus is definitely not something that is for the faint of heart. It definitely takes a lot to understand him and to go through things in our life that continuously point you back to him. And hopefully that's what your relationship with God does. So I thank you guys for tuning in to our Wednesday service. I miss you all so much, and I hope that you guys are doing well. And everybody at our church is always in our prayers, and we just can't wait for you guys to be able to be in worship together again. I can't wait for that day. I'm going to keep asking God for that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you that you continue to show us, God. You continue to show up all the time in our life, and I pray that we would show up for you. I pray that we would knock on that door consistently, that we be persistent in pursuing you, Lord, in our relationship with you, and that everything else, God, that we do would point to you. And I pray we would have the patience that it takes, God, and the persistence and the determination to continue even when life gets hard, Lord. You are worth the fight, and so we thank you for that. And I pray in Jesus' name you bless your people tonight as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a great rest of your night.